Thank you, Eliza and Alexander, for playing the prelude this morning. We had two grand pianos last Sunday, and we've traded the other grand for a bassoon this morning. Alexander and Eliza are going to Macau this summer and doing a number of concerts, so they're going to play some of that repertoire today. And also after the service, at about 11:15, if you'd like to come back into the church here, we'll do a short recital of a concerto that Alexander's playing. So it'll be about half an hour of music or so. So if you'd like to come back, even for part of it, and listen to some more music with Eliza and Alexander, you're most welcome to do that. So this is what I've been calling New Hymn Sunday. So I can feel the trepidation already, because often at choir practice on Thursday, I have the line, "We haven't sung that before." And I can guarantee at least two of the hymns this morning, perhaps you have not sung before. The last one we all know, because from Ken Anderson, I know you never end a service on an unfamiliar hymn. I learned that well. But our two hymns at procession and the offertory are perhaps new to you. So let's turn to our hymn books, everyone. And if you'd like to go to our offertory hymn this morning, number 413, "The Stars Declare His Glory." And the cool thing about new hymns is that the texts are often much more contemporary and speak to a wider audience and have more contemporary or thoughtful images for God and worship and praise. And so it's always very interesting, but the tunes are largely unfamiliar. You can let me know after the service how you did after the four verses. This hymn is written by a gentleman, Patrick Wedd, who is a very famous organist in the Vancouver and Montreal areas. He was born in Simcoe, Ontario. He had a very successful career in Montreal at the Church of St. Andrew and St. Paul, and was very instrumental in getting the CBC hymn sings and carol sings together in Montreal. So this is a Patrick Wedd tune. He passed away in 2019, so it's a beautiful cathedral-style hymn. Even if you don't know how to read music, just look at it thoughtfully, and it'll just come into your brain like that. But let's turn to our opening hymn. It has an interesting history. Number 424. 424 in your hymn book. The tune, "The Vicar of Bray," mean anything to anyone here? So, "The Vicar of Bray." Well, we'll see if you recognize it. Beth's trying to think. I came across it in a theater piece I did called "The Hollow Crown." "The Vicar of Bray" is a satirical piece, originally poking fun at the monarchy of England through the 17th and 18th century. So it's kind of like taking a tune like "Short People," if you remember that, by Randy Newman, or one of the Tom Lehrer classics from the 60s, and putting sacred words to it. If you know the tune, that's an interesting disconnect. And I think it was done very deliberately by John Bell. John Bell is the musician in charge at the Iona community in Scotland. It's interesting on a couple of levels how you can take a satirical SNL type tune and put appropriate words for a church service. And if you do recognize the tune, please come up and tell me afterwards. I'd be interested in your reaction. The final thing is the payback for my new hymn Sunday is we're opening up the request lines for the summer. So if you know you will be here on a particular Sunday and you would like a particular hymn, I need it in writing because I will never remember if you tell me. But if you would like to email Rebecca in the office or email me at home, we would be happy to play your requests all summer. It's an all-request summer at St. James Westminster here. There's the trade-off. But I'd be interested to know your reaction of the new hymns. The words are beautiful, even though the tunes may be unfamiliar. So let's get started as soon as I get to the console, and we'll start with hymn number 424, "Sing Praise to God."
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to St. James Westminster on this beautiful Sunday. Please have a seat for our announcements, and I know that we've got one coming up from the floor. And I forgot to ask Barb if I have anything that I need to announce. Okay. I think it's just John.
Hi, everybody. Just a reminder, next Sunday is our parish picnic. If you can bring an appetizer, a salad, or a dessert, just bring it to the kitchen before the service. We'll refrigerate it and serve it. And I do need some help with setup. So if anybody's able, please come at 9 o'clock next Sunday and we'll set up tables and chairs outside to get us ready for the picnic. So please come. It's going to be a great parish family event and we're going to have a lot of fun. Thanks.
With that, would the congregation please stand? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
And let us pray. Almighty God, without you we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. We are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others. But we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So I have to tell you, there's something amazing about Scripture, and it's that it can, in one sentence, make you reflect on everything that you've been doing for the last 6 to 12 months and make you scratch your head at it. For me, that was this week with our first reading, which said, "Regard no one from a human point of view, but see everyone with spiritual eyes." So I have to confess, one of the things that I've found most interesting about moving to London, Ontario, is the drivers. There is literally no chill on Warrencliffe, none whatsoever. And I have taken perhaps perverse pleasure in following the rules of the road quite explicitly. If there's a yellow turning lane, I don't cut over, go past an intersection in that turning lane, and then go past and make it. I follow the yellow line and move out. If the turning signal turns yellow, I slow down and stop and don't enter the intersection in the yellow. And when the person behind me is doing this, I kind of feel morally superior. I really do. And then we have this scripture, "Regard no one from a human point of view." My gosh, do I regard that person behind me from a human point of view. At that moment, I don't see them as a beloved child of God who really needs to get to wherever it is they're going far faster than I do. Holy crow. And aren't we all guilty of it? Aren't we so guilty of just seeing the world around us from our own perspective? That call to view everyone no longer from a human point of view, that is a lifelong endeavor. That is work, and serious work, that we all need to do time and time again. For me, it brought up one of the quotes from one of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Screwtape Letters. If you've never read The Screwtape Letters, it's a hilarious book. It is about two demons getting advice on how to tempt a person who's starting to go to church. And it's the advice going back and forth. And this is what the elder demon writes to one of the younger ones about going to church. "One of the devil's greatest allies at present is the church itself. Don't misunderstand me. I don't mean the church as the spirit seer, present through all time and space, rooted in eternity, terrible as an army with banners. That, I confess, is a spectacle that makes our boldest tempters uneasy. But fortunately, it is quite invisible to these humans. All your patient sees is the crumbling, impractical, and usually dusty building on the corner. When he goes inside, he sees the local grocer, with a rather oily expression on his face, bustling up to him to offer him a shiny little book containing the liturgy, which neither of them understands, and one shabby little book containing corrupt texts of a number of religious lyrics, mostly bad and in very small print. And when he gets to his pew and looks around him, he sees just that selection of his neighbors whom he has hitherto avoided. You want to lean pretty heavily on these neighbors, make his mind flit to and fro between expressions like the body of Christ and the actual faces in the next pew. It matters very little, of course, whether the kind of people in the next pew, who they really are. One of them may be a great warrior on heaven's side, no matter. Your patience, thanks to our Father below, is a fool, provided that any of these neighbors sing out of tune, or have boots that squeak, or double chins, or odd clothes. That person will quite easily believe them to be ridiculous, and that their religion must therefore somehow also be ridiculous. I love that. I absolutely love that, because I can totally sing out of key. And I wear these shoes particularly because they have a nice clack as they walk through the church. We often get so caught up in the physical things around us, the everyday realities, that we miss the fact that the kingdom of God is growing all around us just out of sight. I think that's what these two parables that Jesus offered us were, the wheat growing. It grows somehow of its own accord, doing its natural thing, and then, by a means all its own, the kingdom of God breaks in and is present. The smallest seed, the mustard seed, grows into a mighty bush, not just for the sake of it being a big tree, that's grand in and of itself, but the point of it is that the birds of the air can nest in its branches. We see the kingdom of God breaking in every time community happens, every time we don't see our neighbor singing off-key, but rather see a beloved child of God working out their salvation in fear and trembling, every time we see somebody who's dressed in weird clothes or is the person that we might avoid on the street, in community we begin to see the face of God reflected in one another. What we're doing here today is so countercultural just because we are all different people. Just because we have different points of view, because we don't all think the same or all look the same or all have the same backgrounds. But the fact that we gather in community, we have a fuller sense of God in our own diversity. Let us continue. Let us be affirmed in trying to see everyone from a spiritual point of view. When we go into coffee hour, when we go out from this building, and when we take that yellow light and turn onto Warrencliffe, let us see everyone who they really, truly, deeply are. A beloved child of God, redeemed by God, cared for by the divine. Let us take our place in the world as part of the kingdom, breaking in, because good things are happening all around us if we can just see. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I would invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer.
We will wait for the Lord. Our hope is in your word. Lord, your love urges us on. Give your church confidence to trust in your new creation. Bring to fulfillment the promises of your kingdom. We will wait for the Lord.
Our hope is in your word.
Lord, your love sits in judgment over our deeds, whether good or evil. Search the hearts of all and inspire the course of justice and concord. We will trust in your name. We will wait for the Lord.
Our hope is in your word.
Lord, your love grows within us as a seed germinates in the ground. Bring to full bloom the flowering of your grace. May we all delight in the shade and protection of your favor. We will wait for the Lord.
Our hope is in your word.
Lord, your love holds us through all trials and tribulations. Look in compassion on all who cry for relief in their suffering. Today we pray especially for Anna, Eunice, Sylvia, Dawn, Robert, Ashley, Gavin, Catherine, Trent, Ray, Don, Donna Nancy, Peter, the Offsall family, Carrie and Ron. Grant that we may tell of your loving kindness all the day long. We will wait for the Lord.
Our hope is in your word.
Lord, your love raised Jesus from the dead for our salvation. As our old nature passes away, bring us into your new order. Remember us in your kingdom of mercy. We will wait for the Lord.
Our hope is in your word.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Our Lord Jesus Christ, appearing to his disciples after his death and resurrection, said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you." Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of reconciliation and forgiveness, the saving work of Christ has made our peace with you. May that work grow towards its perfection in all we offer you this day. We ask this in his name. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. In our unending joy, we echo on earth the song of the angels in heaven as we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember. We await his coming in glory.
and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy and blessed God, as you give us the body and blood of your Son, guide us with your Spirit, that we may honor you not only with our lips, but also in our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Please stand. And we say together, glory to God,
whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you this day and remain with you always.
Amen.
Our service of worship has come to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
remember the announcement, I forgot. Happy Father's Day to you.
Paul Gramble remembered that today. Thank you, Alexandra and Eliza. And we'll remind you, if you'd like to come in and hear some more music in about 15 minutes or so, we'll be back in the church and Eliza and Alexandra will play part of their program. All the best, and yes, happy Father's Day to everyone.